Anyway, we'll take the purple and go to gold. It's better than the crimson, right? So, hey, my name is Chris Hauser. I'm the pastor of Grace Point Church. As the offering baskets are coming around, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our elementary kids. So if you're an elementary age student, you can be dismissed to get lined back up here in the back with Miss Cassie and Miss Jamie as you go on up to your kids' time. I know you'll have a good time up there. I will say this, I heard a lot of laughs, but I think, Mary, you had a little bit too much fun with that seeing your dad up here in that sweater. So, anyway, I'm sure that picture will be resurfaced for years to come all that good stuff. So, anyway, hey, welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you're here. Tonight, we have a handful of people that have signed up for this. Tonight at 5 here in this space, we'll be meeting one of these rooms back to our sides here. But we're having our new members class. So if you're interested in knowing what it means to be a part of Grace Point Church, there's no commitment involved. We'll meet. Usually takes us about 35 to 45 minutes. We'll meet here. We'll answer your questions. We'll talk about the vision and the values of our church and what it means to be a member. So you can be a part of that. Even if you didn't sign up, you can be here tonight at 5. We do these throughout the year. Try to at least get four of those a year. So that's tonight at 5. And then also, our Thanksgiving dinner will be on December 1st, the Sunday right after Thanksgiving. The way it fell, it's pretty late. So our Thanksgiving dinner as a church family will be that Sunday following Thanksgiving. And we'll have a time here at 4:30. We'll gather here in this space, and we will... Man, I heard a little something going audio. Anyway, we'll be gathering here at 4:30, having a dinner together. You can sign up to bring side dishes. The church will provide all the turkey, and you bring a side dish, dessert, whatever. Sign up sheets in the back. So please sign up in the back to bring a dish. It's always a great time, and just time of fellowship and food. And looking forward to that, so I hope you are as well. And then the last thing, tomorrow is Veterans Day. We have a handful. I know we have at least one here today that served in the military. But if you are a veteran that you've served our country in one of our branches of the military, or if you're currently enrolled in the Army, the Navy, Marines, Air Force, or Coast Guard, I want to ask you to stand up for a moment. So if you're a veteran or you're currently serve in one of our branches of the military, I'd ask you to stand. Very good. All right, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for our service. Thank you, Melvin. Thank you, Tiffany, for serving our country. You may be seated. Man, we are a blessed country, and we're very grateful for those men and women that have served to secure the freedoms that we take advantage of daily. So, man, I tell you, this week, as we look at our veterans as a country, I would encourage you, man, just remember those, especially those that are your neighbors, your family members, your friends, co-workers. Man, be sure to thank those that served this week and let them know how grateful you are that they serve. So I know John prayed just a moment ago for our offering, but as we dive into the time that we spend in the Word, I just want to pray again. And as we kind of transition into our sermon this morning, let's pray. Lord, we love you. I am so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful for this time that we could come, we could gather, we can worship. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that the songs that we've already sang and the words that we're about to walk through, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would bring honor to you, that would glorify your name. Lord, it wouldn't be about one person in this room, but it would be about your son, Jesus. It's because of him that we're here. It's because of him that we have... that we even sing. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of the sacrifice he made on our behalfs. And God, I pray now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear, open minds, open hearts, Lord, ready to hear what you have for us today, God. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're starting a new series today called A Thankful Heart, leading into this Thanksgiving season. We'll be doing kind of springboarding off the series that we just finished up on the church. But we have many things to be thankful for, but many times things distract us from it, right? Right? And now we're going to be honest here for a moment. I'm just going to have you raise your hand if you fit this category. Who is the type of person that when you look at a glass that it's halfway full or halfway empty, who sees it half full, right? More positive. Okay, now don't feel bad if you're the person that thinks it's half empty, right? Now, who's the one that's more, has a tendency to look at things more? And my wife would be this person, all right? I call her negative. She just says she's realistic, all right? But who in here is more glass half empty person? You can be honest. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? You know, we have many things to be thankful for. Many times in our life, though, we are distracted from the things that we should we look at and be thankful for. You know, 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes there to the church in Thessalonica, and it's kind of where we get this whole theme out of it, this one passage in chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Maybe you're here and you're sitting there and you read verses like that, or you listen to this specific verse and you say, how is it possible to give thanks in all circumstances? Because, man, maybe you're sitting here and you're just, man, your life, you just feel like you've just went through the ringer. I mean, just life has been hard. It's been tough. It's been one discouragement after another. You know, maybe it's hard to view things, all circumstances, and be thankful, to give thanks in all circumstances, especially if you think your circumstances are horrible. Maybe you're here today and you're sitting there, yeah, that's me. I feel like my circumstances are horrible. And for you to read a verse that says to give thanks in all circumstances, man, that's hard to take. It's hard for me to even process in my mind and what's going on up here. You know, what motivates Thanksgiving when life seems to be one discouragement, one disappointment, one disease, one disaster, and death after another? You know, that's life, right? Discouragement, disappointment, diseases, or just, man, all of us in here have been affected by someone or even maybe our own life that has went through some sort of traumatic disease like cancer, and there's many others. We've been impacted by it. How can I give thanks in all circumstances when these things are just, man, they just run wild throughout our world? I want you to listen to this story that I read this week as in preparation for this sermon. And this story is how we interpret good and bad events that happen and take place in our life. I want you to listen here as I read. It says, "And a Chinese man lived on the border of China and Mongolia. In that time, there were battles and wars between the two countries. This Chinese man had a beautiful horse, but one day that horse jumped over a fence and went over the border into Mongolia. The Mongolians stole the horse, and the Chinese man's friends came to him to console him. And they said, 'Oh, what terrible news! Why do you think it's bad news?' the Chinese man asked. 'Maybe it's a good thing.' After a couple of days, the horse came back to the man together with a stallion. It says, and the friends of this man came around him and said, what great news! The Chinese man said, why do you think it's good news? Maybe it's bad news. Later, while the Chinese man's son was riding the stallion trying to tame him, he fell and broke his leg. And the friends came again. Oh, what terrible news! And again the Chinese man said, why do you think this is bad news? Maybe it's good. It's a good thing. And after a week, another big war broke out between China and Mongolia. A Chinese general came into the town and took all the young men with him to fight in the war. All those young men died except for the son of the Chinese man. He couldn't go to war because he had a broken leg. The Chinese man told his friends, see, the things that you thought were bad were actually good, and the things that you thought were good were bad. Here's the thing, it's all about our perspective, right? I want you to, I've done this before, but I want you to do this with me. I want you to repeat after me. God's ways are greater than my ways. God is smarter than me. Okay, think about that for a second. God's ways are greater than our ways. Many times, though, we just have this idea that we know what's best, right? We know what's best. Man, I've had this conversation many times with people. We believe in a sovereign, all-powerful God that has no beginning and will not have an end, that created all things, and He sees the past and the future as clear as we see the present right now. Man, a God like that, man, we see this small little picture in time, right? But God sees the beginning and the end as clear as we see the present right now. Man, a God like that is working, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 28, He is working all things together for our good, right? So when bad things happen, at least in our eyes, could they possibly be for our good? Man, a great, great theologian by the name of Garth Brooks, country singer, wrote a song in the early 90s. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, that song is not really theologically correct, but man, the message kind of goes along with what we're just talking about. Man, that if you look at the lyrics of that song, he talks about as he's grown a little older and he's now married with a family and he goes back to his old high school and he sees his old high school sweetheart and how he had prayed for her to be his wife, basically, in the story of the song. And then he goes back and he thanks God for not answering that prayer because of what he has now. Man, I don't know about you, but I can really relate to things like that in my life. That I thought I knew what was best and what I needed, but God knew what I needed and what was better. Man, I'll just be 100% transparent for a moment. There were other young ladies before I ever met my wife that I thought, man, I want her to be my wife. God, please, I will be happy if she would be my wife. I don't believe God didn't answer my prayer. He just answered it the best way. No, I've got something better for you. I've got a better plan for you. I know what's best for you. I created you. I know what the future holds. I know what I have in store for you. How can I give thanks in all circumstances? Is the question we want to ask this morning. How can I? How can you give thanks in all circumstances. I tell you, it's only through Jesus. Man, this relationship that we have with the God that created us, and not only the God that created us, the God that came and died for us and redeemed us and gives us a purpose. How can I give thanks in all circumstances? Through Jesus is the only way. So let's look at his example. Last week we taught, as we finished up our series, we taught on the biblical ordinance of the Lord's Supper, our communion. And we observed it last Sunday and we taught through it. But let's look at his example again. We're going to read a passage that we read last week. And I believe this is the best place that we see this in Jesus, is when he was in the upper room with his disciples. So Luke 22, verse 19, it says, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus, God, become man that came to earth to do what? To die. And he knew that coming in. All right? Wasn't like he came in and he's like, "Nope, this is not what I signed up for." No, he knew what he came for. And he sits with his disciples and he took the bread as he was setting up something new there at the Passover meal, the last Passover meal that Jesus would eat here. And he sets up something new, as we talked about last Sunday. And he said, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it. Let's think for a moment what Jesus was giving thanks for. He's saying, "Thank you, Father, that my body symbolized by this bread is about to be brutally beaten. And I'm about to be momentarily damned by your wrath." Isaiah 53:10 talks about that. He says, "So that you will receive supreme glory in being able to forgive undeserving sinners. And I will share eternally full joy with hundreds of millions of forgiven sinners made righteous through my sacrifice." Here's the thing. Jesus' thanks was not based on his present circumstances. Okay? All of us could sit here and write a list of things that just maybe aren't going as planned. Life maybe hasn't turned out exactly the way we had envisioned. But Jesus here, his thanks was not based on his present circumstances. He was looking toward what? The future. He was looking toward the future. He was able to endure the worst possible horror. And he felt thankful to the Father for the grace and glory that was coming because of the cross, and this gave him joy. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the pain. I don't know the struggles. I don't know your exact circumstance. But if you are a follower of Jesus, if you have been redeemed, if you have been born again, if you've put your faith and trust in the work of Jesus, then we have a future joy to look towards. As Jesus, yes, we know, because later after the Passover meal, he goes into the garden and what? He goes and prays, and he is in agony, and he, to the point of sweating blood, the collab, Heather, you're a doctor. What's the things in your head that burst? You remember? Capillaries. Thank you. Somebody else is a doctor, evidently. All right. So, yeah. To the point where he was under potentially such pressure and stress that he sweats blood. We see his human side here. This God become man. He was about to endure the worst possible horror. And he felt thankful to the Father for the grace and the glory that was coming because of the cross. And this gave him joy. What God has planned for your future should fuel your thankfulness in your present. You should just use it as fuel. God, I know what you have in store for me. I know where my future will be. And man, that should give us fuel for our thankfulness. You know, look to your present circumstances as God's molding and shaping you into His image. That is called this sanctification that He takes every believer on. This being conformed into the image of His Son. Look at your present circumstances as God is molding and shaping you in His image, the person He wants you to be. I'll be honest with you, though. I know I mess up. I know I'm not the person God desires me to be. I know that happens with all of us. We fall short. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. This is what Jesus did. He focused on what grace and forgiveness laid ahead for the world, not the agony of the cross in the present. Man, we can learn from His example. So whatever circumstance you're walking through in this season of your life, what can we do? We can look to Jesus. You think about the grace and the forgiveness. We can think about this eternal joy that believers will experience. And it makes our present circumstances easier to bear, right? Easier. Future joy fuels your thankful endurance. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this. It says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that phrase there. In the middle, it says, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. So as a Christian, what do you have to look forward to? As a Christian, what do you have to look forward to? Well, listen, I want to tell you. It says you have the free gift of complete forgiveness of all your sins extended into forever. It's Romans 6:23 tells us that. Let me say it again. You have the free gift of complete forgiveness of all your sins, and that extends into forever. Second thing, you will never have to merit your justification by keeping the law. You know what the law does? It shows us how sinful we are. It does. Shows us how sinful we are. Who in here is just like a rule follower? right? That's like, all right, let's do this. Who like buys something that's got instructions to build it, and you're like, oh, we got this, and like sets the instructions to the side. And then who here is the type of person that's, no, we got to follow it to the point. So rule followers, raise your hand. Okay, those that just like to wing it, all right? Yeah, we got, okay. Some of you did this. You're like right in the between, right? Yeah. Yeah. Depends on how much trouble you get yourself into. You got to pull the instructions out, right? Yeah. Yeah. We will never have to merit your justification by keeping the law. Third thing, you will have all your real needs provided while on earth. This is something I don't think we actually get because we tend to be fairly spoiled in the country that we live in, okay? That's not a bash on America, but we just are, because of such freedoms and because of such things that we have, our wants become our needs. The things that we want, we think we have to have. Now, God doesn't promise to give us all of our wants, but he does promise to provide and to make sure that we have our needs. Our needs. Fourth thing, you will receive all the grace you need at all times so that you will abound in every good work God has for you. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians 9:8. You will receive all the grace you need at all times so that you will abound in every good work God has for you. Next thing, God will complete the good work He has begun in you. Yeah. Think about it. God started it. He says, I'm going to complete it. I don't know about you. I've asked a lot of questions, so I'm not going to have you raise your hand for this one. But I'm really good, and I'm guessing there's some others out there like me, at starting a project and not finishing it. And if you don't believe me, come look in my garage. If you can get in it. You might have to stand from a distance if you don't want something falling on you or whatever. There are a lot of unfinished projects. Here's the beautiful thing about God. He saves us, we're justified through Christ, and then He takes us on this process of sanctification. We're being molded and shaped into the image of Jesus, and He promises us after this life we will be fully sanctified. We will be the people He wants us to be. And He keeps His promises. He doesn't start something and not finish. He keeps His promise. Next thing, you will be raised from the dead and never, ever die again. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 53 talks about that. Yeah, all of us will die physically, but those of us that know Jesus we are spiritually alive. And He promises that, yeah, we will physically die. That'll happen. We all know that. Our bodies wear down and wear out. We're not able to do the things that we used to be able to do. And the things that are inside of us, because of a sinful, broken world, they just start to fall apart. And one day we will take our last breath. And our heart will take its last beat. And we will die. But for those that know Jesus, we are promised eternity. Next thing. To piggyback off what we just talked about. This means someday, soon, we will see Jesus and be with Him. It's a promise. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Not only will we see Him and be with Him, but we'll be like Him, this fully being sanctified. Next thing. In that day, you will know for the first time fully this unpolluted joy. Okay? This unpolluted joy. Our joy here on this earth is tainted. Okay? It is. This joy, this happiness, and it is tainted by this broken, sinful world. But we will experience true joy. Next thing, you will be completely free from all corruption. And I don't want to bet you, but man, that makes me excited. The people that are around me, the world that are around me, and my own sinfulness, my own corruption, my own wickedness. That's no more. And then lastly, you will have God forever. And He is our exceeding joy. And we have so much to look forward to. We have so many promises throughout Scripture. So let's look forward to our future joy. But you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, or you might say, right now I have trouble because things are just difficult. I'm having trouble with all this, Chris. It's easy to get up and probably say all this. It's different to take it and live it this week. I'm having trouble because of my present circumstances. Here's the beautiful thing. Jesus said that's okay. And He actually said that we would experience that. In John 16:33, He says, "And I have said these things to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus reminds us that it's going to be tough. Here's the problem with a lot of people that are coming to faith in Jesus. And church, we've got to do a better job at this. But man, they put their faith in Jesus and they think that's going to be the fix-all to all their problems in this world. They think, I'm not going to owe people money anymore. And I'm going to have everything I want instead of everything I need. And I'm going to, everything's going to be perfect. I'm going to find that perfect person. And my kids are going to start behaving. What? Yeah. And if not, the pastor will come out and exorcise the demon out of them, right? Yeah. Jesus tells us that there will be trouble in this world. But He says, He gives us a reminder. He says, take heart. Have faith. Stay strong, because I have overcome the world. And here's another thing about Jesus. He tells us it's going to happen. He tells us to take heart, because He's overcome it all. But He also, here's the beautiful thing. You're like, yeah, but He's God. You know, it's easy for Him to say, right? It's easy for Him to say He's God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. But here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He understands. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest." It's talking about Jesus here. "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. Man, He became a man. And He experienced heartache and suffering. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. If you're sitting here and we've encouraged you to memorize Scripture, start there. All right? Jesus wept. Got it. Got that one down. Okay? Start small and we can work up. But why did Jesus weep there in the book of John? Do you know? Do you know why Jesus was weeping? Yeah. Lazarus, his friend, had died. And we see Jesus in his humanity. Man, his sorrow. Now, he goes and raises Lazarus from the dead. Pretty cool, right? But man, he shows up and Lazarus' sisters are there mourning. He sees their sorrow and their heartache and he sees what they're going through and he weeps for them. He weeps. Now, we don't know a lot about Jesus in his early years. But man, he had to grow and develop. When he fell and bruised his knee and scratched his knee, and dad or mom picked him up when he was just a little tyke, man, he experienced that pain and that hurt. He experienced those things. Scripture tells us that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us. He understands us because he became one of us. The only difference was, the scripture says, is what? He did not sin. Did not sin. You know, the trouble that we endure has a purpose in our life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes here, verses 16 through 18, I want you to listen. It says, "And so we do not lose heart." Okay? Jesus has already told us there's going to be tribulation, to take heart. Paul writes and reminds us, so that we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look into the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Paul reminds us, just like Jesus told us to not lose heart. And he reminds us of these things so we don't lose heart. I want to share a quick story as we kind of close. But back in 2015, in August actually of 2015, we weren't meeting in this location. We were actually meeting across the street down a little ways at the Cypress Lakes Country Club. We rented space there. We met there. And I've got a phone call by one of the guys that are on their board. And he said, "Hey, Chris," he says, "I hate to tell you this, man, but at the end of this year, we're going to need you guys to find a new place to meet." And let me tell you, that's not bashing Cypress Lakes Country Club. Man, we met there for several years. And they were very gracious to us, and we're grateful for our time there. But man, he called and he said, "And I want to give you a big window because we're making some changes and it's not going to work out for you to rent space here anymore on Sunday mornings." And I'll be honest with you, while I was like, "Okay, thanks for sharing, thanks for the heads up," man, I hang up the phone and man, my stomach's like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do?" I was sick. Like we had kind of started to gain some momentum, just a handful of people. But still, I'm like, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? My wife will probably leave me if I try to get everybody in our house on Sunday mornings. What are we going to do? I didn't know. Me and other leaders of the church, we begin to pray and we begin to reach out and search and we're like, "Hey, let's, this space here that we're currently in, let's reach out to the Shriners. It's probably way out of our price range. But man, let's reach out to them and see if that would even be a possibility." we began to talk and we began to pray and we began to say, you know, God, we trust you. Trust that your ways are greater than our ways. And God began to work. And the Shriners said, you know what? That time falls in a time that we really don't rarely use this space. We were able to secure a price really just barely a little more than what we were paying across the street here for a much larger space, for a much better location, for a space that we were already doing events right here on the soccer field every year. And in December of 2015, we that very first Sunday, we had our first service here. And God began to move and to work. Some of you were a part of that group. Others have come since. And God revealed himself. And while we kind of took a leap here, we're like, we're not sure if this is, we just don't know, but we feel like this is where you want us, Lord. And man, I tell you, that was a very scary time. I was scared. It wasn't trusting the Lord, but man, I was just fearful. Just fearful. I didn't know. It was unknown. God began to move, and man, God has worked over the last 4 years since meeting here. He's begun to reveal himself. He's begun to bring new people in. He's begun to grow his church. It was exciting times. Exciting times to watch the Lord just work and move and to give us a place that was much better than where we were for the growth of the church. Much better. And here's the thing, I don't know what God has in store for the future of Grace Point. But here's what I do know, that God has continued to prove himself faithful and has given us favor with the Shriners here. He's given us favor. We've built a partnership with them, and we're so grateful for them. Grateful for the space. Thankful for how the Lord worked. And I'll be honest with you, my faith was pretty small back 4 years ago when I'm like, I don't know if this is a realistic thing. It's probably way out of our budget. But God made a way. Because he knew what was best and he knew what he had plans for our church. And let me tell you something, church, God knows what the next 5-10 years is going to hold and what that's going to look like. And I'll tell you, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see what the Lord will do. And I believe where it starts is, man, how are we responding to him? What does our heart look like? What does our circumstances look like? Not just as a church, but you personally. What does your circumstances look like? And where is your heart at with this? Is it a thankful heart for your current circumstances? Or is it not? Is it an angry heart that resents God and resents others? Angry. Where you're at. You know, I could have been angry. 2015. I've been angry. I'm like, God, I picked up my family, I moved here, and now you're kind of shutting it all down. I could have got mad and got angry, but I knew that God was faithful and God was going to make a way. And here's the beautiful thing, God did. It's easy for me to sit back here and look now, right? Real easy to look back. But God made a way. So how can you give thanks in your circumstances? There's only one way. Just like Jesus did. Look to our future joy. Look what he has in plan for you. Now, we can look to what the scripture says, but who knows what next year holds? I don't know. Who knows what next month holds? We don't know. but we can look forward to our future joy. And if you believe, you're a believer and you look to the future joy, nothing can steal your thankfulness. Nothing can. But maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here. And this is hard because you don't have this relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you something, that's where it starts. It starts with admitting you are a sinner and that you need Jesus more than anything else. You needed Jesus and the work that he accomplished on your behalf on the cross for your sin. And let me tell you something, today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Today, you can know for sure. You can fully put your faith in Jesus and make him Lord of your life. You're here today and you are a believer. How are you going to demonstrate how you are thankful this week? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for what you're doing in the lives of our people. God, I pray, as we just mentioned, if there is a person here that needs a relationship with you, I pray, Lord, right now that you would draw them towards salvation. They would admit that they are a sinner and that they need you more than they need anything else. They need you to forgive their sins, and they need you as Lord of their life. Lord, I pray also for those that are believers, that they would be reminded of their future joy and their future hope, no matter what their circumstances look like. And I pray that this week would start just this attitude of thankfulness. They would be reminded of what all they have to be thankful for. God, we pray as we stand here in just a moment that as we sing our last song, that your name would be lifted up, and Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified today. As he sings in Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me.